All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Aleph 31, and we are picking up on Lamed Aleph Beis 30b, three lines up from the bottom. A beautiful daf ahead of us today. Shabbos, our shiur this morning, our shiurim this month are dedicated by Leah Sol in the Zechus of Refuah for her daughter Ilana. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Ilana will have a complete and enduring Refuah. But let's begin. Rava, this is a great case. Rava hava badik legira l'Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa. So we'll say, Rava checked the arrow of Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa. Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa was going to shecht with an arrow. Remember again, as we saw yesterday, as long as you're willing to do a molech umevi, a back and forth movement, like a cutting movement with your blade, a blade of any size is good enough to be able to go ahead and do shechita. It's only if you want to go ahead and use a... It's only if you want to just shecht the animal with one motion that you need a larger blade. So Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa apparently is going to shecht with an arrow. Rava checked his arrow. What happened? The shachat ba'ofa ba'hadei deparach. So this is amazing. So apparently, again, Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa was a very good shot. Right? So what happens? He shechted a bird with an arrow. In other words, he shot the arrow, and the bird and the arrow did a shechita on the bird. Incredible. So the Gemara says, how can you be sure that it was a good shechita? V'dilma chalda. We'll say, remember, for shechita to be good, as we've seen, the knife has to go across the external layer of the neck. If the knife, remember again, burrows in between the two simanim, we call that chalada, that's a psul and shechita. So certainly when you're shooting an arrow, how can you be sure that the arrow sliced against the outside of the neck? Maybe it just came inside the neck, borrowed in between the simanim and cut the simanim like that. It's amazing. Chazin on top of Lamed Aleph. Chazin on Gitvei Demiframi. So we'll say when the bird fell, so Rava checked it, and they saw the neck feathers were cut. So they saw that literally, we'll say this is a guy you want to be friends with, right? This guy, hey, so they saw that the neck feathers were cut straight across the front. But there's another problem. Kisui Adam, we'll get into this later on. There's a mitzvah of kisui b'adam that by chayus and ofos, when you shecht it, you cover the blood. So how do you cover the... So remember again, normal, sir, you hold the animal, you shecht it, you cover the blood. So how do you do kisui here? V'chi teima d'mechsulei. So maybe you'll say, not a problem. When the bird fell, they covered the blood. Here's the problem. Hamar v'zeira, amarav, hashochei tzarek sheyitin afar lamata, v'afar lamala. We'll say, as we're going to see, the mitzvah of kisui adam actually is to put dirt... Or what we call dirt below the blood and above the blood. So the idea would be in the place that you're about to shecht, you would sprinkle dirt on the floor, right? You'd shecht, the blood comes, and then you'd cover the blood with another layer of dirt. Where do we know this from? Because the pasuk says, "Shene'emar v'chiso ba'afar." Because the pasuk says, "You shall cover it in the dirt." Afar lo ne'emar, ela ba'afar. So I'll say again, the fact that it says that you shall cover it in the dirt, as opposed to just with dirt, indicates thus that there must be dirt on the bottom and dirt on the top. So even if you want to say that once the bird fell, you covered the blood, that ultimately, again, came out with blood, what about the fact that you need a layer of dirt on the bottom? Apparently in this case, so they placed dirt around the entire area where the hunt was going to take place. So obviously they will say they planned for this. So the point over here is literally means they put dirt over the entire valley. What it just means ultimately is that halacha l'maaseh they prepared. I will say we're going to see by kisui hadam, interestingly enough, if there's already dirt on the ground, you could have kavana that dirt ultimately, again, is the bottom there. So it's also possible to say that what happened over here is that where the hunt was taking place was mamish, like a place where there was a lot of dirt anyway, in which case, just through the process of cognition, you could prepare it. But bottom line is, they did what they had to do in order to go ahead and prepare for the shechita. So we'll say so, but for our purposes, this story is an incredible example of how even the arrow is ultimately fit for shechita. And interestingly enough, the other piece that you see from here is what? That examination of the neck feathers after the fact would also apparently be enough to show that the shechita was in fact kosher. Good. How you shochet fit this? So let's remember again, the next case in the Mishnah was as follows. If a person was shechting, and he ended up taking off the head of the animal with one fell swoop. So the Mishnah says, as long as Lashon of the Mishnah was Yesh Besakin Malei Tzavar Kshera, as long as the literally translated, as long as the knife is Kimalei Tzavar, as long as the knife is the length of the knife is like the width of the neck, it's kosher. So Rabbi says, so watch this. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Zeira Malei Tzavar V'Chutz LeTzavar. Rabbi Zeira says, what it means is, in that case, Rabbi says, so remember again, what does that mean? When you're shechting and with your shechita you decapitate the animal, what are we concerned about? Right? Drasa. We're concerning about pressing as opposed to cutting. So the assumption is that if the blade is long enough, that it's the width of the neck, the length of the blade is the width of the neck, that through one fell swoop, if the knife is very sharp, you could cut through the head in its entirety and there's no drasa. Rabbi Zeira comes along and says, it must be malei tzavar v'chutz letzavar. The size of the knife, I will say, must be the length of the knife, must be the width of the neck, and chutz letzavar, and something additional. Now we'll discuss what that means in just a moment, something additional. So the Gemara says, Ibai lehu, malei tzavar v'chutz letzavar ki malei tzavar, dahavulei trei tzavari, o dilma malei tzavar v'chutz letzavar mashu. So we'll say, so what does that mean? Does that mean that the length of the knife has to be like the width of the neck and a little bit, a mashu? Or does it literally mean that the length of the knife has to be double the width of the neck? See, I will say, if you hold that the knife has to be double the width of the neck, so essentially, even in one action of holacha and hova'a, you are effectively doing what? You're effectively doing a back and forth. See, I will say, what's the point of a back and forth? That you cut the neck of the animal with the length of the knife twice. If essentially it's a double length knife, which means the length of the knife is twice the size of the width of the neck, then even just one act of back or forth is the equivalent of a back and forth. So the Shai Zun Rabbi Zeira says that the length of the knife has to be the size of the neck, the width of the neck, and right? He says what its lashon is. Malei tzavar v'chutz letzavar. So I say, so what does that mean? Does that mean twice the size of the neck, or does it just mean the size of the neck and a little bit? So watch this. Tashma. Hayashochit vehitiz shnei roshim b'vasacha. So we'll say the Mishnah says, this was the next case in the Mishnah, if you're shechting two animals at once. So the Gemara says, and what happens? You end up taking off both of the heads of the animals. Im yesh b'sakin malei tzavar echad. If ultimately, again, the sakin, literally translated, the knife has the size of one neck, kosher. So the shechita is kosher. Says, you know, what does that mean? My malei tzavar echad. Ilema malei tzavar echad v'sulo. If you want to say it's the that as long as the knife is this length, as long as the length of the knife is the width of one neck, that doesn't make sense. Hashta bebehima achas bo'ina malitzar v'chutz litzavar. If I will say when shechting one animal, the size of the knife must be the size of the neck and something else v'chutz litzavar, b'shtei behema sagile ki malitzar echad. You're going to tell me now that when shechting two animals, as long as the length of the blade is the size of one neck, that's going to be okay. Ela pshita. Malei tzavar chutz lishnei tzavarim. We'll say rather what it must mean is that what? It must mean that halacha lemaisa, it has to, in shechting two animals, the size of the knife must be the length of two necks plus. Shmamina, malei tzavar chutz litzavar, shmamina. And I will say, see from here that what? That halacha lemaisa, when going ahead and shechting an animal, the knife really has to be the length of two necks, right? So the shechita knife really has to be, ideally should be, double the width of the neck. And I will say that, listen to this. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is in Simen Chaf Dalid. In Simen Chaf Dalid, Sith Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Shachat b'holacha o b'hova levad, im yesh b'sakin kemalei tzavar b'chutz letzavar, kemalei tzavar b'chutz kshira, ve'im lak psula, shekol she'im kshira hazeh, listen to this. So interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if you are going to go ahead and shecht with one fell swoop, your knife must be double, the length of the knife must be double the width of the neck. So that's how the Rambam, that's how Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if you're going to shecht with one fell swoop, you need it to be double the width of the neck. Obviously, he goes on and he says that halacha lemaisa, if you're going to be shechting in a back and forth, in a cutting, in a sawing motion, a blade of any size is enough. But comes on the Rama, listen to this. The Rama says, v'hamina baglilos elo lifso bebehema, afilo holich vehevi, im ein besakin kemalei tzavar v'chutz litzavar mashu. So Rabbi says, the Rambam says halacha lemaisa. Even though, right, even when we are going to do shechit in a way that's holich vehevi, the Rambam paskins that halacha lemaisa, the knife must always be the length of the blade must be at least the width of the neck and the mashahu and something else, something additional. So Rabbi says, so the Rambam paskins pretty much like the Mechaber paskins, according to the conclusion over here of the Gemara, that if you're molich umevi, the blade could be any size. If you're going to shecht with one fell swoop, then the blade must be double the neck. The Rama says, even if you're going to shecht back and forth, the blade should still at least be, the length of the blade should be at least the width of the neck, and the mashu and something additional. Good. Weiter. So remember, the Mishnah said, if you're going to go back and forth, if you're going to do a cutting motion, you could use anything you want. You could use any blade you want. Afilu kolshu, afilu bi'izemel. So we translate izemel as like a, literally translation is like a scalpel, a very small knife. So Amrav Menashe, bi'izemel she'in lo karnayim. That's only with a scalpel that doesn't have horns. So I'll say, apparently some scalpels used to have like some type of protrusions on the sides. So obviously you can't shecht with that. I'll say, why? Because if you start shechting with that, there's a concern that you will come to rip the simanim. Amrali Rav Acha, Breid Rav Avil Rav Menashe. Machtamai. What about shechita with a needle? Right, shechita with a needle. So Amrali, mechta mevaza baza. So I'll say, no, you can't use a needle. Why can't you use a needle? I'll say, because a needle will rip. Whereas even though we're saying you could use a blade of any size, there has to be some edge to it, right, that cuts. A needle, the problem is, you could stab and you could rip, but you really can't cut. To which the Gemara says, aye, what about machta d'ushpachi, d'ushchapi? So we'll say, so what about, literally, this is called a leather worker's awl, right? So the awl of a leather worker, so apparently the Gemara will say, had a very narrow top, but had sharpened sides. So the point over here is, it does could operate as a blade. So Amar Leitanina, Afilu Kol Shu. Okay, so the Mishnah said, as long as you're cutting back and forth, you could use anything as long as what? As long as it's a blade. As long as it's a blade of some sort. My love, Machta Dushbachi. So when the Mishnah says you can use anything you want, doesn't that also include the leather workers all? Lo Izemel. No, it refers ultimately again to the scalpel. Izemel, Behetchikatani Lu. Well, see, we already learned in Izemel explicitly. Perushi Kamafarish, to which the Gemara says the Mishnah is actually explaining. My Kol Shu. Well, see, when the Mishnah says that you can shecht with anything, what does that refer to? Izemel. That refers ultimately again to a scalpel. This would seem to be true. Because if you want to say that it's a leather worker's awl, then if you could use a leather worker's awl, then it goes without saying that you could certainly use a scalpel, because obviously we'll say a scalpel is even less of a blade surface than the awl. To which the Gemara says, izemel itzri chalei. You need the izemel. Why? Sakadait chamina ligzar izemel she'in lo karnayim. Atu izemel she'in lo karnayim. Because we'll say, I might have thought, you know, maybe I can't use the scalpel. Why can't I use the scalpel? Out of a concern that if we let you use the scalpel without the horns, you may come to what? Use the scalpel with the horns. We'll say, what's the problem with the scalpel with the horns? What's the problem? You may come to rip, right? It grabs. You may come to rip. And therefore, the Mishnah Var teaches me, Kamashlan, that I could use the scalpel without the horns, and I'm not concerned that halach lamaisa, I'm going to go ahead and use the scalpel with the horns. So we'll say, bottom line, for our purposes, is that halach lamaisa, really, as we just saw, although technically speaking, if you're molech umevi, you could use a blade of any size. And I will say, the mechaber of Yosef Karo paskins that way. You could use a blade of any size. As we just saw, the Rama, Ramosha Islas, Ashkenazim, holds that really any time for Shlita, you should always use a blade that is at least the size of the neck and a mashu. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say another incredible case. Nafla sakin v'shachta. We'll say, watch this. I dropped my knife. It happens. I dropped my knife. I'll say, what happens? I dropped it and it shechted an animal, right? So I'll say, it's a sharp knife, right? Or I'm standing high up, right? So I go ahead, I drop the knife and mamish, it shechs the animal. So what's the halakha? I both say, now this, by the way, this case, you can't actually visualize it the way you're thinking of it. See, when you think of it, you say, I dropped it and it shechted. Why can't it be that? Right? Because that's pressure. We'll say, that's drasa, that's pressing. So it must be like, I was walking, and it could be like when I, you know, when my arms are moving, and when I moved my arm forward, I released the knife, like we saw this case before, right? And it flew across and shechted the animal like that. So I dropped it. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Afa pi shechta ki tzenafla sake v'shechta, Afa pi shechta ki darka psula. It was that even though, again, the shechita was good, nevertheless, it's possible. Why shen emar v'zavachta v'achalta? Masha ata zoveach ata ochel. It was like that, right? You, what is it? You eat what you kill. You eat, right? There's an expression like that. You eat what you hunt, you eat what you kill. So vazavachta v'achalta, you have to go ahead and offer it, and you can eat it. That which you slaughter, you have permission to eat. So both say, we'll have to see exactly what this drasha means. But that which you slaughter is what you should eat. So the Gemara says, time of the Nafla. So both say, so the reason why the shechita is not good is because the knife fell out of my hand. I would say if I were to throw it down. So I would say it seems to me that what's that issue at play over here is that there was no kavana, right? That again, that it just fell out of my hand. That's why it's not good. What it sounds like over here is if I were to drop it, right? If I were to actively, if I were to throw it, right? Then halacha lemaaseh would be good. And I will say it sounds like what's missing over here is an intentional act of knife droppage. But if I were to go ahead and intentionally throw it down, and the shechita were to occur like that, then halacha lemaaseh, even though I didn't have kavana for shechita, the shechita would still be good. So the Gemara says, "Man tana lo d'lo ba'ina kavana." I will say, who is the opinion who holds that you do not require kavana for shechita? Amara Rabbi Nasi, we had this before. The Tani Oshia Zira Dimin Kharya Zarak Sak in the Natsabakosel will say, if I threw a knife, I'm knife throwing. That's all I'm doing. It's a slow day. Right? I'm knife throwing, and what happens? I will say, Vahalcha Vashakta Kidarka. And as I'm throwing knives, it happens to be that I shecht an animal in the process. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Rabbi Nasan Machshir Vichachabim Postim. So Rabbi Nosson says that it's kosher, and the Chachamim say that it's possible. So we'll say, so what do you see? You see from here, now we'll say, what is this a case of? This is a case where I have kavana for the knife. I have kavana to throw a knife. What don't I have kavana for? Shechita. And yet Rabbi Nosson is still saying that even without shechita, as long as there's a premeditated action, the fact that a shechita, there's no kavana for the shechita, does not invalidate the shechita. So the Gemara says, "Hu tana levahu amrala halacha Rabbi Nosson," and he said that who does halacha follow? Say halacha follows Rabbi Nosson. I have a ha amr rava chadazim. We already learned this once before. Disnan v'chulin sheshachtu v'achirin ro'no son shechita sin ksheira. So let's remember again, first Mishnah in the Masechta. The Mishnah gave a list of people who are really not supposed to shecht. But if they did shecht and were supervised by others, what's the halacha Rabbi saying? The halacha is shechitas and ksheira. Ultimately, again, the shechita is still good. V'aminon. And we said, man tana delo bai kavana the shechita. Who is the tana who holds that you don't require kavana for shechita? V'amar Rava, Rabbi Nasan hi. And Rabbi said it's Rabbi Nasan. So we already learned this once, that Rabbi Nasan doesn't require kavana for shechita. So why is this being brought up again? Tzvicha, Tushti, I'll tell you why you need both cases. Diashmin Hassam, Mishum de Kamechavin, Lashum Chaticha, Ba'olam. So we'll say, ultimately, again, in that case, where at least that person has kavana to cut, maybe that's when Rabbi Nasan says, as long as you have kavana to cut, even if you don't have kavana for shechita, that's when it'll be good. Avahachad lo kamechavin. We'll say, in this case, it's not even a kavana to cut. Imolam, maybe Rabbi Meir would not say the shechita is good. Diashmin Hacha, Mishum de Ka'asi Mikach Bendas. And I will say, maybe in the first case, where the knife thrower is a bendas, that's where, even though he doesn't have kavana for shechita, if shechita occurs, the shechita will be good. But we'll say, in the next case, where again, you're having, let's say, a chere shot of a cotton, someone else doing the shechita, where they're not a bendas, maybe the shechita wouldn't be good at all, therefore tzicha. So we'll say, bottom line, I need all of these cases. So we'll say, for our purposes, what we see over here is as follows. That it appears that what is unfolding over here is something very interesting, which is that halacha lemaisa, the issue at play is one of kavana. That the Mishnah's case is where nafla, the knife fell out of my hand. That's why halacha lemaisa, again, if the knife falls out of my hand and shecht, that's why it's not going to be good. It appears that had I had kavana for the knife to fall or to be thrown, even if what? I didn't have kavana for the shechita, what would be the status of Osai? Right? It would be good. I'll tell you something amazing. I'm just going to skip to the halacha just for a moment. Shulchan Aruch, this is Siman Gimel Sif Aleph. Shulchan Aruch. Actually, you know, I was like, no, that wouldn't be right. It's not right. You know, you got to do the work. You got to do the work before you get to the finish line. Okay, so here we go. So Itmar Nida Shenan Savatala. Here we go. It's a great case. A Nida, a woman who's a Nida, Shenan Savatala means she did a tevila against her will. Right? Now we'll discuss exactly what that means. Right? We'll get to it at the end of Amud Beis. So what I say again, Nan Savatala means she ends up immersing in the mikvah, but she didn't have kavana for it. I will say, so again, like, she ends up in the mikvah. She ends up, you know, everybody has a day like that, where you wake up, you're in the mikvah, you don't remember how you got there, right? So, usually it's Purim and Eretz Yisrael, right? So I will say, so again, the point over here is, Nensa v'tavla means that halacha l'maisa, she's in the mikvah, she got to the mikvah, but she didn't get there of her own volition. Again, we'll see the case in just a little bit. So what's the halacha, I will say? So what's the halacha of such a tevila like that? So I'm Yehudam Rav, Tahor lebeisa, v'asur le'achol b'truma. We will say Tahor lebeisa means it works, that tefillah works for her to be with her husband, so meaning it takes away her nida status vis-a-vis physical relationship, v'asur le'achol b'truma, but she cannot eat truma. So we'll say it's actually quite amazing. So the distinction over here is her nida status vis-a-vis her physical relationship with her husband, that becomes permitted with a tefillah even without kavana. But for the truma consumption, you need a tevila with kavana. So the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan, I'm going to have tevila based on lotara. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Even for her own personal need of status vis-a-vis her husband, such a tevila does not work. I'm going to Rav the Rav Nachman. The Rav Domer Torah based on Asur Lechol B'Truma. So let's listen to this. So I don't understand. According to Rav, who says that a tevila without kavana ultimately works to be metahir her from her personal status, but not for truma. That doesn't make any sense. Avon kares hutra isra misa mi bari bosai. The halacha is if a man has relations with his wife when she is in nida, that is an isra kares. It's an isra kares. If a woman eats truma while she's in nida, that's an isra misa. So you're going to tell me now that this type of tevila works to go ahead and permit an isra kares, but doesn't work to permit an isra misa? It doesn't make sense. To which the Gemara says, "Amalei ba'al chulin hu v'chulin lo bay kavana." I was saying, it's a great line. Her husband is chulin, right? And chulin doesn't require kavana. Richard Vosai means what? This is not a function of punishments. This is a function of the technicalities of the tevila. When it comes to tevila for chulin, right? That type of tevila does not require kavana. Her husband, quote unquote, is chulin. Some men hear this from their wives all the time, right? You're chulin, right? So ultimately, again, her husband is chulin. Therefore, such a tevila does not require any kind of kavana. Truma is kachim, and for truma, such a tevila, I will say, requires kavana. Umenat teimra. So I will say, from where do we know that a chulin? That tevila for the sake of chulin does not require kavana? This is actually a fascinating case. Disnan galshen nitlash. Ubarvas, so listen to this. Let's say you have a wave that has detached itself from the ocean. The metzias right now is not important. But I will say, but the idea over here is I'm standing by the shore, right? I'm standing on the bank of the river or on the bank of the ocean, and there's a massive wave, a 40 sa'ah wave. A 40 sa'ah wave that becomes detached from the ocean. V'nafal ala adam v'ala kelim, and I will say that wave falls on a person or on utensils. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Tahorin. And we'll say, so the assumption over here is the person or the utensils were tamei. Essentially, again, that self-contained 40 sa'ah wave, 40 sa'ah, and we'll say, you know, unfortunately, we see in the world these type of waves, right? But the idea over here is obviously this is just a technical case. The 40 sa'ah wave goes ahead and detaches itself from the ocean, falls on a person or on kelim, which are tamei. What's the halacha? Tahorin. So we'll say, ultimately, again, it's mitar. My love, adam dumya de kelim. So we'll say, again, we're grouping together adam and kelim. So ma kelim, de lo mechavni, af adam nami lo bai kavana. We'll say, just like a kli does not require kavana before ultimately, again, being immersed, so to a person doesn't require kavana as well. So we'll say, what do you see from here? If the guy just happens to be standing on the beach, and he happens to be ritually impure, and then what happens? The wave falls on him. Right? What's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? What's the halacha? He's tar. So the Gemara says, Umimai, Dilma Yoshevu Mitzap asking on. So, Ema Yitlashagal, maybe not. Maybe the guy is waiting on the beach, and what is he waiting for? Right? He's waiting for the big one, right? He's just waiting for that big 40 saw wave to go ahead and detach itself from the water and land on me. How do you know it's taking him by surprise? Maybe halacha lemaisa is sitting there by the beach waiting for it. So the Gemara says, Amad Beis, V'keilim dumya da adam. I will say, just like a person, he has to have kavana ultimately again to become tahor. So to the kelim only become tahorim when? Only become tahorim when halacha lemaisa, the person has kavana for them to be immersed. So I don't understand. If you're telling me that this is the case, that the guy is sitting on the beach, Shabosai, right? He's sitting on the beach and he's waiting for the big one, right? He's just mamish waiting for that killer wave, right? To go ahead and come on him and go ahead and be mitire him. Then what's the chiddush? Or Shabosai, remember, we're not delving into the technicalities over here. We're just taking it for granted, as the Gemara says, that a 40 sa'a detached wave essentially works as what? Is a mikvah. So without delving into the technicalities of that, where it's just taking that to be true, because we're not learning Hilchos Mikvahos right now, if the guy is sitting there on the beach, waiting for the 40 sa'a wave, and now you're telling me that when the 40 sa'a wave comes, it's mitayer him and the kelim, what's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, Maudem, because, I would have told you the following. Maudetema, Ligzer Mishum Chardolis Shel Gishamin. So we'll say, I might have thought that maybe, there's another case. The case is, what happens if a person is standing at the bottom of a mountain, and there's water on the top of the mountain, 40 sub water on the top of the mountain, and that water is flowing down, and a person stands at the bottom of the flow. So the Gemara points out, that is not a kosher mikvah. That does not work. So maybe I would think that I should be concerned that if we let you go ahead and use the detached 40 sa'a wave as a mikvah, you may come to go ahead and utilize what? The flow from the top of the mountain as a mikvah as well. And maybe you think that that's good. Inami ligzar roshin atu kipin. Well, this is actually amazing. Or maybe we should be concerned that if we let you use the wave, you may come to Yisrael saying, I don't know what the technical wave term for this is. The Rosh Abosai is the part of the wave that crests, that falls down. The Kippin is like the tunnel inside the wave. I don't know what you call that. You know what I'm saying? Like when the wave crests. So again, there's the inside of the wave that technically, you know, is a tunnel. We'll call it the tunnel. Good. So here's the interest. So I'm going to say that if we let you use the top of the wave, maybe you'll come to use the tunnel. And obviously, I will say the tunnel is not mitar. Kamash one dolo gazrinon. Therefore, I will say the chiddush is that no, you could use the 40 sa detached wave as the mikvah, and we are not concerned that you'll come to use the flow down from the mountain, and we are not concerned that ultimately what, that you'll come to use the keeping the tunnel of the wave as well. This is not about, so here we go. Because we learn, matbilin berashin, ve'in matbilin bekeeping. We'll say the halacha is that we go ahead and we do tvila in the top of the wave, in the crest of the wave, ve'in matbilin bekeeping. I will say, this is amazing, to make this case a bit more interesting. If I'm standing on the shore, and the 40 sa'a detached wave comes along, and I both say, as it's cresting, what do? I run through the middle. Right? I run through the middle. And I will say, what's the halacha? The halacha is I'm still tameh. So I will say, that's an important distinction over here, which is interesting, I both say, because technically speaking, what I'm really doing is what? I'm running through a mikvah without immersion, which is actually quite amazing. I'm running through a mikvah without immersing in the mikvah. It's cool, but it doesn't work. So as I said, ultimately, again, I'm still tameh. Eloch, so the Gemara says, fine. So as I remember, let's get back to our, this is an exciting case, let's get back to our question. Elochulin delo boy kavana miha minola. So as I said, ultimately, I give me a minola. So as I remember again, we're operating, remember just the progression of our discussion. We began ultimately again by talking about the idea that although you don't need kavana for shechita, ultimately again, what do you need kavana for? You need kavana ultimately again for the movement of the knife. That's to put it simply. I don't have to have kavana to shecht, but it can't just be that the knife fell out of my hand. It's gotta be that the knife is thrown down, the knife is thrown across. There's gotta be koach, but it doesn't have to be kavana. Somehow we transition into this case by the Nida, right? Of the Nida who kind of, she ends up immersing in the mikvah, quote unquote, accidentally, inadvertently, against what we mean, without kavana. So we establish that what? It works for some things, doesn't work for other things. It works legabe her husband, doesn't work legabe truma. Which then gives us this concept that immersion for chulin purposes does not require kavana. To which the Gemara is just trying to figure out, where do you know that's from? From where do you know that immersion for chulin purposes does not require kavana? This time, I'll say another possibility. Peros shenaflu lusoch amas mamayim. So I'll say if you have fruit which fell into like a channel of water. Upashat mishe yadav tameh. So I'll say, what happens? Someone whose hands are tameh, he sticks his hands into the channel of water to take out the fruit. So let's say, so there's a couple of shilas happening over here. So what happens? So mishi benatlan, if it's benatlan, yadav tahoros, uperos inan bichiyutan. So we'll say, listen to this. So when he goes in, his kavanah is just to take out the fruit. He doesn't have kavanah. Remember again, that channel of water could actually also work as a mikvah to be metaher his hands. So if he doesn't have any kind of kavanah for this, then what's the halacha? The good news is, the mere putting of his hands in the channel of water, even without kavanah, does what? Purifies his hands. Rabbi said, but there's another important part here. Remember again, the fruit came in contact with the liquid. What happens when fruit comes in contact with a liquid? It's mekabel tumah. It's mekabel tumah. Now we'll say, now that is only true if there's some premeditated contact with the water. As long as halacha lemaisa, the individual putting his hands into the channel doesn't have kavana for anything, so then interestingly enough, the hands become tahar, but the fruit is not mekabel tumah. On the other hand, v'mishvil sheyutchu yadav tahoros, yadav tahoros uperos bichiyutan. We'll say, on the other hand, halacha lemaisa, he stuck his hands in the water. When he sticks his hands in the water to get the fruit, he has in mind that he wants to clean off his hands. Then we'll say, what happens? The hands become tahar, because remember again, tahara occurs even with what? Even with what? Even without kavana. But in this case, because he wants the water, now the water is significant, and therefore his contact with the fruit makes the fruit, readies the fruit to lekabel tuma. Uperos bechiyutan. So we'll say, Sa'esvei, Rav Adur Rav Nachman. So we'll say, so this, what does this seem to point to? This seems to point to that halacha lemaisa, that you don't need kavana for chulin. So we'll say, remember, what's happening over here? Just focus on case number one. What's happening over here? So again, my hands are tameh, the fruit fell into the water. I just want to get the fruit. So what happens? I stick my hands into the channel of water, I get the fruit. We'll say, what's happened? What's happened? My hands are tar. But my hands became tar without what? Without what? Without kavana. What do you see from here? You see from here that tvila, for chulin purposes, works even without kavana. Okay? So the Gemara says, Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav raised the question to Rav Nachman, Taval l'chulin v'hochzak l'chulin asr l'maiser. So listen to this. If a person went to the mikvah, right? I went to the mikvah. And what happens? So I was tamei, I went to the mikvah. And I go to the mikvah for the purpose of consuming chulin. And hochzak means, Rav say, I have kavana for chulin. That's my kavana. Fine. It works, right? I'm tar, but I'm not allowed to eat meiser with that tvila. Hochzak in, lo hochzak lo. So Rav say, it sounds like the problem over here in this tvila is what, Rav say, that I had explicit intent only for chulin. Meaning what it sounds like over here is, had I had no intent when I went to the mikvah, and I'm just immersing stam because I'm tamei, what would be the halacha? What would be the halacha? It would work. The immersion will work for everything. This seems to tell me that's what? Then I will say, even a regular tvila works even for non-chulin, even for kachim, as long as I'm not having kavana to the contrary. I will say, it would appear the problem in this case over here is that when I go to the mikvah, what am I doing? I'm having in mind dafka for chulin. So okay, if you have in mind dafka for chulin, then what? Then what? Then your immersion is not going to work for meiser. But if I just went to the mikvah stam, just stam, it didn't have in mind for chulin, it sounds like it would work for everything. So hochzak in hochzak lo, hachikama, this is what it means to say. Afa pisha hochzak lo chulin, asr la meiser. We'll say, this is what it means to say. That we'll say, this is actually a good case. Even though, again, I didn't have no intent, I had some intent for chulin, nevertheless, again, such a tevila will not work for Meiser. Okay, so Aisi, so I'll say we're still kind of back to where we thought, which is it sounds like that halacha lemaisa, so tevila immersion for chulin does not require any kind of specific intent, but immersion for something more than chulin, something kodesh, something sacrificial, well, kodesh we'll call it, does require intent. Aisve tavol v'lo hochzak. We'll say if a person goes to the mikvah, we'll say lo hochzak means I didn't have kavana. Ki ilu lo tavol. It's as if I didn't go to the mikvah. My love kilu lo tavol klal. People say, does this not mean that it's like I didn't immerse at all? Even for what? Even for what? Even for chulin. Lo kilu lo tavol lemeiser aval tavol lechulin. What it means is, if you go to the mikvah and you have no kavana, so such an immersion works for chulin purposes, but does not work for meiser kodesh purposes. Hu savar dichuye kamatchili. So people say he thought that the answer that was being given was just kind of to push him off. Nafak dak va'ashkach. He went out and he found another brayse. Disanya tava v'lohochzak. The person went to the mikvah and he didn't have kavana. Mutter lechulin va'aser lemeiser. Such a person ultimately again is mutter and chulin and aser lemeiser. So we'll say, so bottom line, you begin to see that what? That indeed this concept is true. That when you go to the mikvah, if you go to the mikvah with no kavana, then what? That immersion is fine for chulin. But for Meiser and above, Rabosai, in order for an immersion to work, the immersion must have Kavanah. To which the Gemara says, limited to Hufta to Rabbi Yochanan Meha. Let's try to refute the position of Rabbi Yochanan from here. Amali Rabbi Yochanan, so the Gemara says, Amali Rabbi Yochanan, so let's just say that all this is refutation Rabbi Yochanan. So Amali Rabbi Yochanan, who do Amar Krab Yonasan Ben Yosef? So it says, Rabbi Yochanan will say, there is another opinion of Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef. What does Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef say? Disanya, Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef Omer, Vikubas. So we'll say over here, the Pasuk says, Vabegit o ashesio ha'arev o kol akliya ir asher techabes v'sarmehem anega v'chubas shenis v'tar. So we'll say, this is talking about saras on clothing. So the Torah uses the lashon of v'chubas. It shall be laundered. Ma tamulam shenis. We'll say, why does it have to say shenis? Remember, the Pasuk says, v'chubas shenis. It shall be laundered a second time. I don't need the word shenis. We'll say, why not? Because halacha lemaisa, the Pasuk already says v'chubas. The second time it says chubas, I know you're laundering it a second time. Why does it have to say shenis? Ma tamulam shenis. Ma kishtich boses shnia letach boses rishona. I was coming to equate the second act of laundering with the first act of laundering. Ma techboses, or we'll say, by the way, laundering in this context means immersion in the mikvah. Ma techboses rishon ledas, just like the first immersion, the first cleansing, has to have kavana. Af techboses l'sheni ledas, so to the second immersion, also it has to be ledas. Ima lalon ba'inan das koin. Af kan ba'inan das koin. I may say, just like the first immersion required the knowledge of the Kohen, so too the second immersion requires the knowledge of the Kohen. Tamud lomar, v'tiyer michol makom. Therefore, we'll say the Pasuk says, v'tiyer michol makom, that halacha lemaisa again, even if it didn't have the kavod of the Kohen, ultimately again, it will still work. So we'll say, so what does this show? What this shows ultimately again, is that halacha lemaisa, you see that again, v'tar michol makom, that halacha lemaisa, even without, here, if you take a look at Rashi says over here, Af shenis ladas v'lo sheyipol b'mayim me'elav. So we'll say ultimately again, we see from here that everything requires das, right? Everything requires. So we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said on Amud Aleph that what, that halacha lemaisa, that if a nida is toveles without das, even for her husband, it's not good. He requires das for everything. So ultimately again, we see that there's another tana who requires das for everything, not just for kachim, but even for chulin. Maskef la Rabsim bar Ashi, Mima Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Then I was also, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that halacha lemaisa, an immersion with no kavana, doesn't work for anything, doesn't work for chulin, doesn't work for meiser? V'hama Rabbi Yochanan, halacha kista mishnah. Yet Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that halacha kista mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan, now we see why this conversation is relevant for us. What's the stam mishnah? Tnan, nafla sakin v'shachta. We'll say, what did our Mishnah say? If the knife falls out of your hand and it goes out in shechts, even though it's shechted properly, the shechita's pasul. V'avinaban, we said, time of the nafla. The reason why the shechita's not good, we'll say, is why? Because the knife fell. Hoi, pila kshira. We'll say, aye, but if the knife was thrown, right, it would be kosher. And yet what? V'afa gavdulo mechavein. Even though what? There was no kavana. So we'll say, v'amiran man tanad lo bai kavana l'shchita. Who is the opinion that doesn't hold that the kavana is required for shchita? Rabbi Nasani, Rabbi Nasani, Rabbi Nasani, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Nasani, b'shchita, so the Gemara says, So what's the question? Rabbi Yochanan's halacha falls like a stam mishnah. Stam mishnah is Rabbi Meir in this. Excuse me, Rabbi Nasan in this case. So we'll say again halacha lemaisa. So what do you see from here? We're seeing from here that a shechita is kasher even without kavana. So we'll say if that's the case, this is a little bit of a jump. But what we're seeing over is we see that things without kavana are kasher. If that's the case, then what? Then Rabbi Yochanan should hold that the nida who kind of falls into the mikvah, even if you want to say it's not going to be good for meiser, maybe meiser and higher order items require kavana. Rabbi say, but at least what? At least for lower level items, like her husband, like her chulin husband, it should be good enough. To which Gemara says, no. Don't bring a raya from shechita. B'shechita afidu Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef. Excuse me. Midigali rachmano misasek bekachin pasol michlal b'chulin lo ba'inan kavana. So I say, ultimately, again, shechita is different, Rabbi Yosef. Because since the Torah goes out of its way to tell me by sacrificial items, that misasek. So Rabbi Yosef, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that if I don't have explicit kavana for the shechita by kachin, that such an offering is invalid, that is a din by kachin. It tells me that what? Mechlal d'chulin lo by kavana. Rabbi Yosef, what that tells me is that what? Is that halacha lemaisa by chulin doesn't require kavana. But Rabbanan, so this is actually really incredible. So essentially what's coming out over here is as follows. That you can't see, what the Gemara tried to do is bring a raya from shechita. That just like shechita doesn't require kavana, so we see that certain actions don't require kavana. To which the Gemara says you can't bring a raya from shechita. Why can't you bring a raya from shechita? Because halacha lemaisa, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that shechita by kachim requires kavana, tells me that what? That shechita by chulin, I could infer from that, michlal, de chulin lo by kavana. Ultimately, again, tells me that by chulin, ultimately, again, shechita does not require kavana. The Rabbanan will say, nehid lo ba'inan kavana lezvicha, lichaticha ba'inan. Ultimately, again, the Rabbanan will say, that although by shechita, you do not require kavana for shechita, you do require kavana for chaticha. So what I said, the idea over here is we'll distinguish between this, but the idea over here is that halacha lemaisa, although you don't need kavana for the explicit halacha of shechita, but you do need some type of actional kavana. So we'll stop over here for today. I want to share with you a short idea in the parasha. We'll define this more in tomorrow's daf. We'll say this incredible fine line between, on one hand, I do not require kavana for the act of shechita, but I do require kavana ultimately for what? I do require kavana for some type of cutting. The nature of that kavana, the distinction of that kavana, Emir Tz Hashem, we'll see in tomorrow's daf. Well, so I'll share with you a short idea in the parasha.